Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Ron Hick.
Hey, it's great to see such a full church, isn't it? It's fantastic to see seats getting full. It's just so encouraging. Now, we serve a superb Lord who's growing his church. And it's not just this church, it's church all over is growing. We say in the news and religions get such a bad press at the moment, but you know, us Christians in Jesus, it's really, really growing. It's encouraging. And we are the ones that can make a difference in this world. It's so good to see people on those seats. Well, today I want to talk about men. I have a passion for men. Not in that way. More in that way. Thanks, Paul. And I'll put that with the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in Matthew. It's something that's been on my heart for a number of years now. And it's something... Well, the Bible is summed up in the Great Commission for me. But before I get there, I've got a few things to share. And this talk, like Paul says, is about men. But I'm sure some of you ladies will get something out of it. But for me... I did it in my old church. I had a pub called the Ainsley, which some people in here may know over there. I used to drag people from that pub. And that's what I did. That's what I love doing, seeing men saved. Because when you get the man, not always, but you get the family 9 times out of 10. You get the man in church, you'll get the family. And it's getting men into church. We're a funny breed, men, aren't we? We're very logical beings, aren't we? We put things in boxes and we're very logical. Women are far better at being spiritual at times and having emotions and things. Those men, I'm an engineer, you see. I put things in boxes and everything's really bang, bang, bang. So for church, for a man to go into church, he's got to have a reason, I think. He's got to have a reason for wanting to go. What's in it for the man? Why bother going to church? Is the question I've been looking at, praying over, and how we can do that. Let me tell you about my first impressions of church. As a kid, I had a little red Bible given, the Gideon Bible. If people remember it. I read it from front to back. And it meant something to me at the time. And so when I was about 17, 18, I went to a C of E church in York. And I got told to sit at the back because I wasn't worthy of sitting at the front. I got told I was a sinner. I got really judged that first time I went to church. So I thought, I ain't doing this no more. And I wandered away. Wandered away for nearly 20 years. Because I thought, well, church is irrelevant. That was my first impression of church. I then met up with some guys called Dan Walker and Dave Shaw. And things changed from there. But up to that point... My opinion of church was it's judgmental, it's not for me. And that was my preconception. Actually, it's everyone's preconception, but it was mine. So I think, how do we, as church, as men, break those preconceptions down, whatever they are? And those are questions I've been asking myself, you know, how do we get men into church? Then I thought, I was talking to Deborah, we do in prayer at times, and we were sort of saying, everyone has a passion. It might be people going to football match. You'll see 50, 60,000 people at football match going, way, come on, Leeds United. Come on, Leeds United. And they're all screaming and shouting. Rugby, man, trick them. They get men there, they're absolutely passionate for sport. So how can we get that passion for Jesus? Because that's far more important, isn't it? Far more important. So we do a passion, and I do look at that. Those people kind of worshipping the team, kind of worshipping whatever they're doing, and I sometimes think, are they looking for something J-shaped? Are they looking for Jesus? Is that what's missing? Is that what they want? And I think the answer to that question is yes, it is. They need Jesus in their lives, and then they'll be fulfilled. So everyone has a passion, everyone has a dream. Everyone Dare to Dream. It's something that was brought to this church a couple of years ago. Dare to Dream. Well, I want now for us to start seeing those dreams happen. Let's see these dreams happen. Let's see our dreams happen. Let's walk with Jesus and see those dreams in fruition. I looked at Daniel. It's a book in the Old Testament. He was chucked to lions and he lived because he believed in God. But he was able to interpret dreams and he believed in dreams and things happening. If we look at Daniel 2, I think it's 19. It says, "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning.'" It's dream. Our dream's inspiration. And it's men's dreams that I'm really interested in. And the men's summit, that's something I want to look at, is what each and every man has got in their heart. What really breaks them down? What really do they want? And I want to see that empowered. What does God bring to us in the real world? What brings a man to church? Those are the questions that are on my heart at the moment. As I said, men are, we're logical beings, aren't we? We want logical answers. You know, there's questions that get asked to us, aren't there? Why do bad things happen in the world? That's a question I get asked by people. I've been sharing some of Jesus with some men, both in Scarborough and in York. These are questions that get asked. Why do bad things happen? How would you know that God is real? Is a norm that always gets asked to me, 9 times out of 10. And I'd like to look at how we, as a church, answer those questions. And I started looking at something it took me a while to do. It's putting God first. Putting God right at the core of what we're doing. I often used to think, well, God's great, but I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got job, I've got this, got that over, and it slipped sometimes. I don't know if it's a slip for you, that life takes over, and God's not number one. I think it's important that we make sure that God is number one. He's the pinnacle of what we're doing. Because if we do that, then we change and start acting like Jesus. And I think people who don't know God will see that in us. How we're calm when there's a fight. How we bring peace where there's no peace. We bring healing where there's sickness. We bring love where there is none. And if we put God first, then all those things happen. And people see those happen in our lives. And as we interact with other men, other women, I think that's the answer. I really do. I think the answer is us putting God first and really, really showing Jesus to the people, to those men. Then those men ask questions. I had it in York where people used to say to me, you don't get too drunk, Ron. Well, you have a laugh. You have a peace, even though you're going through adversity. Why? And I just sort of say to them, oh, it's just Jesus. Then I stop, move away, and get them to be really, really come at me. And 9 times out of 10, I end up bringing someone to Global or to Hope, as it was then. And it really, really works to be amongst them, but be apart from them. And that's something I really want to look at and bring to fruition for the men of this town and every town, really. We all have an adventure, don't we? We all have gifts that are specific to us. We all have something in our hearts that's God-given, just for us, just for each and every one of us. An adventure. something to do. It's something that only you, and you can do for Jesus. It's specific to each and every one of us. I think that's something, if we can reveal that in men, that they've all got a purpose. They've all got something to give to Jesus. They've always got something to give to the community. They've all got a part to play in church. It's not about the front row and the leadership and all that sort of thing. Each and every one of us is partners with each other. And every one of us is part of that journey and that adventure. Every single one of us. It's not me chatting at the front of the church now. It's you in your lives. It's you men in your lives. When you interact with your friends, your mates, that's where it happens. Church isn't this building, not really. It's us. It's us. And I think that's a revelation I've been getting over the last year. The church is, we need to come here, of course we do. We need to be in the Word. We need to get refueled. All those things are very, very important. But we're the church. The people. And that's something for me that has become really, really strong in my heart, that I am the church. In my workplace, wherever I am, I'm the church. And I want to go on now to what was on my heart all along, the Great Commission. I want to read it out, step by step. But this is something that's been on my heart for maybe 2, maybe even 3 years now. But this is what it's about. It's in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, 28:16-20, I think. And let me read it out to you. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some actually doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and earth. That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? That's been given to me. Jesus is saying, I'm God. That's what he's saying there. He's saying, I am the way. Therefore, this is the church, go and make disciples of all, everyone say all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always. I am with you always. To the very end of the age. I interpret that as when we're doing life, he's with us all the time. I mean, how many times have you been in a situation and you think, I might share a bit of the gospel here, but then you're chicken out. I've done it quite a few times. I've chickened out. But I'm saying, dare to step over that line and share the gospel. Did it at work this week, beginning last week. I had about 30 blokes. And, you know, I thought, oh, heck, a lot of them here, not one Christian amongst them. And I thought, I'm going to share the gospel. And we've done it 2 or 3 times now. And you know something? When I sort of said, you know, there's a better way. Jesus is the way. The amount of questions that come at me, there must be 50 questions come at me from that group of people. They were all absolutely eager to hear what I had to say. That shocked me. I thought I would get barracked. I thought I would get, you know, picked on almost for being some sort of alien. He goes to church? And some of those guys now are asking the questions about local churches and where they can go, and we're getting to a point now where we could end up with like 10, 12 families going to church. Just because I stepped out and said, Jesus could be the way. You know, it's amazing out there how many of those people are actually wide open to Jesus. They really are. And it's us sometimes that thinks they're not. So it's those barriers. You know, how do we break them down? How do we as Christian men, as Christian women, break those barriers down that are there? The ones I mentioned to you about preconception of church, and church is alien, church is religion, religion's bad, all those things that are the barriers to be broken down. But tell you what, we live in victory. We are in Jesus, and he is the answer. He really is. He's the one that will break down them barriers for us. We're just a tool. Make yourself available, and he'll use us. You know, I was just sort of thinking that, what if these dreams worked? What if prayer actually works? And you know, what we also bring is Jesus' miracles. We live in the miraculous. We really do. Absolute miraculous. When we're there, walk into a room, we should make a difference. Wherever we go, we make a difference. You know, it's interesting. Some of you may know I had a grandson born at 23 weeks. 23 weeks. You could have bought at 23 weeks. And got back preeclampsia. Some may not know about it. Anyway, he was given a little chance. But in the hospital, the doctor says, you know something, there's lots of prayer for him. We can't understand this. We don't understand this. He's breathing on his own. He's doing so well. I can't get my head around it. In all the years, one of them been there 25 years, says, I've never known a baby born this young doing so well. And, you know, I was there laying hands on him and praying for him. And all through, we can't believe how well he's doing. Well, that lad comes home on Monday. Now, you know, it's a miracle, isn't it? It's an absolutely ridiculous, stupid, balmy miracle. And, you know, every single one of us, every single one of this congregation has got Jesus in them. And you're not given authority to lay hands on people and heal them. So when you're in that company and hey, you dare to do it. If someone's poorly, pray for them. Just ask them, is it okay to pray for you? Because God loves you for doing that. You step out, he'll turn up. I can't speak at front of a church. I've got no chance. I just go here and I'm relying on God because I know that he'll come and put the words in my mouth for me. I trust him to do that. I really do. I trust him to be there for me. I can't run men's events on my own. I'm special. I'd have no chance. But in Jesus, there's every chance, isn't there? Absolutely every chance. And I know that. It's just being and walking in that victory that we have, in that love that we have, where we can make a real difference in this world. Never mind this garb, in this world, we can make that difference. Yeah, there's other things out there that I've not touched on here. A spiritual battlefield out there. But you know what? We've won that spiritual battle. Because Jesus died at the cross. And we're winning that battle. Prayer wins that battle. Love wins that battle. We are winning that battle. It's not just physical. I know it's spiritual. But you know, we are in victory. We've got people running courses, and I'm running courses on the way of the Spirit. That'll empower you so much. That'll empower you to understand the way of the Spirit. How God's love flows through the Bible from front to back. How the Old Testament shows the way to Jesus all the way through it. I encourage you to do the way of the Spirit. It's a fantastic course. It's something that we've got to start doing, church. You know, it's each and every one of us has love in them. You can restore people. You can heal people. You can love people. You can bring hope where there is no hope. Every single one of us. And by being new, we'll grow this church, so we need some new seats. So we need to run split congregations. That's where I'm dreaming. But this building's not big enough anymore. Where there's so many Christians, the noise is so loud, nobody can ignore it anymore. And we make Jesus so famous, he's more famous than even Leeds United. But he's so famous. Well, perhaps not. But he's so famous that the whole blooming world out there says, you know something, is real. And we're going to follow Jesus, each and every one of us, and we're going to have no more wars. And other religions who've shown Jesus and know the truth. And that's how we can change this nation, guys. We really can change this nation. The Great Commission tells us what to do. It tells us to lead people. What it's saying there is, bring them alongside you. Bring people alongside you. It's all about showing people Jesus. Discipleship is what it's about, if I'm honest. And that way, we end up increasing the church multiplied. Not by ones and twos, multiplication. Let's multiply this church all over the place. Yeah? I've got so much. I did some praying the other day and I asked the Lord for some words. And you're laughing? And that's the way I said it. It's the way I say it. I did some praying. Get Barrett from the actual leader of the church, don't I? I did some praying. I asked for some words. And I've shared only about four or five of them. And I'm running out of time. I got told if it goes past 12:30, I get shot. So. But I hope that's give you an insight of this walking this dream, you know, of being the church out there, of reaching men and breaking down those barriers. And if I've done a part of that today, that's great. I've got time for one more scripture. Just about. Ephesians 3:10-19. Let me just read this one to you. Because it's the one that the Lord gave me. His intent was that now, let's say everyone say, now. Yeah. Now. Through the church. It's very specific there. The church. Not anybody else. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What he's saying there is it's not for the government. It's not for the council. It's not for the leaders out there, it's for us. We're the ones at the front. We're the ones revealing Jesus. We're the ones that should be taking charge, and we're the ones that should be leading. That's from Jesus. I can leave you with that one, but the Great Commission, which is really reaching people, discipling them, loving them, and be there for them, yeah? Well, thank you, guys. You're absolutely awesome, all of you. Thank you.
Praise God. Thanks, Ron. Good message to encourage us. Reminding me of, if you can find it, maybe you don't know if you've not been around for a while, but not been coming before. All the Sunday messages go online and you can download them. They're completely free, so you can re-listen to them or catch up with one if you've missed one, if you'd like to. But one of the ones that's on there from quite a while ago, I just like it because the title was Don't Go to Church. And that's really what Ron was talking about, wasn't it? Don't go to church. Let's be church. You can't go to church. I mean, I slip sometimes because it's just the way we talk about it, but I rarely say to somebody, let's go to church or I'll meet you at church, because it's impossible. We are the church, and church is important every day of the week, not just Sunday morning, because that's us. You can meet at the summit where we can meet together and worship God together, but really church is just us, and we can be good at it or we can be awful at it, but we're still the church. You know, that's just us. We can be absolutely awesome at loving one another, or we can be rubbish, but we'll still be the church. We're still the light in the world that's saying, this is what Jesus is like. Amen. And by the grace of God, he's teaching us, he's encouraging us. Some of us he's drawing out of our shells, and some of us he's enabling us to jump on our fears so that we can actually show the world that Jesus is amazing. We know he's amazing, but sometimes the picture is a little bit marred, you know? If you Google at the moment, you might not want to, but if you Google at the moment, Stephen Fry God, it's an unusual combination, but Stephen Fry God, he's making a bit of a name for himself at the moment for an interview that he's just done, where the interviewer says to him, you know, something like, I can't remember exactly, what will you do when you meet God? And his reply is, how dare you? Because it's as he explains, it's the last thing he ever wants to do, because God is utterly, utterly evil. And that's what he says. Then what's your reaction when you hear that? Do you get angry with Stephen Fry? You say, that's what I expect of a man who's married to another man, and that's not right. Or do you react as we should as a church and think, actually, we've utterly, utterly failed if, as the church, if that's what he believes God is like? Because God loves him as much as he loves me. That's our message. You know, it's a different message to other beliefs. If you're a Muslim, God loves Muslims. But if you're a Christian, God loves Christians, and he loves the person next to you as a Hindu or a Muslim or an atheist or whatever stance of life they are. God still loves them and wants to show them his glory. And that is the message of the church, that it is one of acceptance. I'm not compromising the gospel. God still calls us to holiness and righteousness and purity and walking in the right way. I'm not saying anything of that. But the basic message Jesus said was that God loves them. And it says that God has loved us by sending his son to die for us. And he sends us his son to die before anything sorted out. That is a marvelous message. And so, I mean, Stephen Fry has his own personal responsibility. But when you hear somebody like that, and he says, you know, I would say, and then I would say to him, well, why do children have bone cancer? Why is there a fly that lives in the eyes of people that eats eyes from the inside out? He says, why did you put that stuff? And that's why he says that God is utterly, utterly evil. But most people you meet aren't going to ask you questions like that. In fact, most people are actually wanting to believe in a God who loves them. They've just been put off by everything that we've portrayed. If I bake you a beautiful, beautiful scone, just like you can get in the hub that Kate makes at the moment, right? I can give you a beautifully baked scone. Here you go, Chris. Use your imagination. There's a scone or a scone, depending on who you are. And then you get out butter that's 3 years old and a pot of moldy jam. When you eat that scone, it's not going to give you the kind of impression that I thought you'd get when I gave you that freshly baked scone. If I make you if someone makes you an absolutely amazing cup of coffee, and then you drop a few drops of poison into that cup of coffee, no matter how good the cup of coffee is, the poison that you've tipped into it is going to make you sick. What God created was perfect and wonderful and glorious. And we are not separate from creation. If there's one thing that the Greens have got, it's not that we are above creation in the way that we are separate. Everything we are and do is part of that one planet. And when we as humankind chose to go away that was apart from God, it was the beginning of tipping poison in the cup of coffee. In creation, what we have now is still beautiful because God is so awesome, but it has been corrupted by centuries of that poison being tipped in. That's why. And it will be sorted. It's going to be sorted. And when it's sorted, the world that we have lived in and the lives that we have lived and even the history of humankind over thousands of years will be a blink of the eye in all of eternity. And we'll wonder why we got so worked up over those things when it seems such a minuscule part of the entirety of everything that God's done. But this is a moment, an open window, to allow every intelligent spirit to respond to a message of God that says, come follow me. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me. because I have made it possible for our perfect relationship to be restored. He can take the poison out of the cup. We can't, but he can. And restore to us the life that he created. So yeah, Ron, let's dare to dream. Let's look forward to that day. Ron will be speaking on that day. I'll be speaking on that day, but we haven't fully put together. There'll be a chance to talk together, pray together, just envisage one another, encourage one another, so that we can move forward together as the men of our community. Amen. It's good just sometimes to be just men. It's good sometimes to be just the women. And I'm sure there'll be food and stuff involved somewhere along the line. It must be. It's men. You know? I feel the smell of bacon already. Or maybe healthy smoothies. Who knows? Be blessed. Have an awesome week. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.